League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, pre-Australia edition. Now, the first burning thing on your mind right now is that there is no Tom Bellingham, the founder. He has disappeared, but he's away, and you know we can give him as much grief as we want. But we're just gonna do a good job. Myself and Katie, the WTF1 author, very orange today.
Yeah, look at this. I've got my good day or good day. That sounds so British. Good day. Aussie t-shirt on today.
You are full of Danny Rick hype for this weekend.
Yeah, I've even got my Danny Rick mug with him doing a little shoey on it. So
available on the WTF1 store if you want to go check out that or any other merch. I am not wearing WTF1 merch. I'm actually wearing a Masters top to celebrate the golf that's on this week. There you go. Bit of insight for those wondering if I liked golf. Right. Okay. So let's talk about, firstly, we won a Best Motorsport Podcast Award at the Sports Podcast Awards, which I just wanted to let you know. I think we've already told you, but I wanted to tell you again because we love you very much. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast and listening to our beautiful waffle that we provide to you every single episode. Now, let's talk about the Australian Grand Prix, shall we, Katie? Let's dive straight in to what we expect to see in Melbourne. Now, the first thing, we did a video about it, but let's talk about the new track changes because a lot of you came in with some questions. The first one being at Nuanced Humour asks, do you think DRS Chicken will still play a part in the Grand Prix given there's only one detection point for every pair of DRS zones? So yeah, there is two detection points for four DRS zones this weekend. Four, the first time in its history, we have four DRS zones. Do we think DRS Chicken will still play a part? For me, I don't know. I don't think it'll be DRS Chicken as such. No, I don't. Well, it's a predict. Like literally, Formula One is always about what do we reckon?
It's a gamble.
Who knows? But for me, I'm not sure DRS Chicken will play a part as much, just purely because there's so much DRS that is it even worth playing such a risky game when all you have to do, if you do get past after those two DRS zones, is stay maybe together. So what is it? Turn six is technically the first detection zone. And then you've got the run all the way down to seven and eight, which is basically no corners. And then it's the fast left, right of 9 and 10, which haven't been changed. You get DRS all the way there. If you get past, fine. You get another dose of DRS down towards turn 11. All you have to do is stay within a second for two corners. Maybe two corners, and then you've got DRS again at the next detection point. So I'm not sure it's going to be as chicken-y. And also it's a very short lap. So I would imagine, you know, you'll have Perez's and Sainz in the mix as well with all of this DRS. I see it more being maybe a DRS train than it being DRS chicken and stuff like that. I'm not fully convinced that it's going to evolve and change this Grand Prix into something unbelievable. But it's unprecedented. We've never seen it before. So we will find out on Sunday.
We will. I think, especially, by the way, your term chickeny, that is a technical term, especially for you listening in to the podcast. But yeah, I think there's a possibility of it. Obviously, DRS chicken isn't something new, but it's something that has been highlighted recently with, especially in Saudi Arabia and the DRS detection zone they have in there. But there's a possibility, but I don't personally think we're going to see it as much as we have seen previously, but we'll wait to see it in action. I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion or not, but I think four DRS zones are just a bit too farcical for me, because although I know F1 fans are going to be like, oh my goodness, like, we want to see overtaking, Katie, what are you on about? Like, this is just going to help encourage overtaking. It gets to a point where I'm like, well, how much is too much help? Because would you rather see a load of overtakes? I mean, last time we were here in 2019, Mercedes put a report out and said that the 2019 Australian Grand Prix featured 10 passing moves. Seven of those came under DRS. So obviously it is beneficial and it's a good thing to have. And I don't think we should scrap DRS and all this yada, yada, yada. But do you want to see loads of overtaking, or do you want to see like a good selection of real quality overtakes that have really been earned, I guess? I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be as easy as just like come past, overtake, and it will just be like that again and again and again. And the person that starts last could end up in first or whatever. Wait for that to be clipped. but yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's too many. But maybe I'm just a grouch. I have been up since three, so it could be that.
Yeah, you've pretty much done a working day already, and it's only 20 Woo! To 12 in the day. Tying in with this whole DRS chat, NotMe123 Xbox asks, how effective will the four DRS zones be? I think they'll be very effective. The key thing is whether or not the leader, for example, whoever it is, Charles Leclerc, if he can break a second, then all of a sudden the game has changed. You know, Verstappen or whoever's behind won't have those four DRS zones or four DRS usages to close up. And I think that was the thing we saw in Saudi Arabia, where it looked like Leclerc had it in the bag, was absolutely fine, was able to stretch his advantage in the first sector, and it was sitting at around 1.2 to 1.5 seconds, and Verstappen could never get in that DRS zone. Then we had that VSC, I think it was. Verstappen then managed to get within that 1 second window, and all of a sudden the whole race was changed. Verstappen had the extra top speed, which, I mean, to be fair, he was faster than a straight line anyway, so it gave him even more of an advantage. And then it was simple pickings, really, for Max Verstappen once he worked out how to actually get past Charles Leclerc after all these DRS chicken things and whatnot. So that's going to be the key thing, is those first three laps at the start, can the leader extend that gap to a point where they won't have to defend from four DRS zones? It's going to be fascinating. I said it in the video that we made as well, that I am happy they're trying something new. And if it is a complete disaster, we'll throw it in the bin. I think combining an extra DRS zone and also having all these track changes will make it hard to actually measure how well the track changes have done and how well the extra DRS. So, you know, having one variable, you can be like, right, well, we've done it. I say one, we've had the new cars as well. So there's always going to be loads of variables, but the more variables you add, it's very difficult to work out what's actually been the positive factor here. So I think they'll be effective for sure. If you are within that 1 second, but it's going to be crucial to see what happens in those first three laps.
As you said, there are so many variables. Like Verstappen's talked about how the tyres play an impact with how much overtaking can be done. Obviously, he said that it's better than previous years, but once you push too hard on these tyres, they kind of just fall off the cliff a bit. So it will be an interesting thing to see. But I'm just, like you say, happy they're trying something new. And Australia is no stranger to having new things trialed. Obviously, we had the quali format shake up here in 2016, which still gives me cold sweats when I think about it, because I really didn't like it. But nice that they're trying things out. And I wonder if we'll see any other tracks this year that maybe get given an extra DRS section in it. Could be cool.
Yeah, maybe they think, well, four was good. Let's have five for Abu Dhabi.
It outraged everyone on Twitter. Let's do it again.
Let's have DRS everywhere. I mean, we say that, but we did used to have DRS everywhere in qualifying back in the day. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but DRS was allowed throughout qualifying. And I quite like that, to be fair, because it pushed some of the teams further and kind of pushing in certain areas. I remember Turkey, for example, when Red Bull were, I think, were the only team to be able to run with like DRS open through turn eight. I think that was, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think that is correct. And things like that. So I didn't mind it, but it'll be DRS open for the entire race soon if they keep going the way they are. Joseph Maynez asks, would you like to see an increase in the frequency of track layout changes? Yes, Joseph. Yes, I would. I think that especially the ones that struggle for overtakes. You know, Australia, I saw a stat that we've had one on-track overtake in 30 years for the lead around Melbourne. Now,
that's not good.
That kind of tells you a lot, doesn't it, really? Not only just about the track, but about the cars and whatnot. But, you know, we've seen on-track overtakes for the lead around other tracks. So clearly there was something that needed to be changed in Albert Park. So, yes, I think definitely there should be this open-mindedness of making changes to the to more boring tracks. But the problem there is the track has to be willing to spend money to make that happen. It's not like Formula One, just chuck them a boatload, like your track's rubbish. Here you go. Here's 10 mil. Go sort it out. It's not quite like that. But I guess the thing for Australia is that they have to lift it up and put it back down every year anyway. So
it's a national park.
Exactly. So, I guess they have to spend a lot of money anyway, resurfacing and making it all beautiful like they did this year, that they were kind of open to making those changes, because I think they've resurfaced it for the first time in God knows how many years. And that's, again, another struggle.
6 years?
Yeah. So that's another struggle for the drivers this year, is that it's going to be less grip. It's going to be more tyre wear. Yeah, there's lots of things to keep an eye on this weekend, but I certainly would love to see more track layout changes. You know, I know you can't change Monaco. You can't, unless you knock down some buildings, but you can't.
Charles Leclerc's home.
Yeah, yeah. In the bin. Let's knock that down, Charles.
No, I think it's just crazy actually thinking that the last time that the circuit was resurfaced, I was a literal baby, having been born in 95 and it was done in 96. So that's crazy.
I was 4.
You were 4. Okay, old man, right.
Wow.
Sorry. But yeah, I think it's a good thing for things like street circuits, if there is that flexibility there to, you know, maybe change a corner here, add a chicane there. Obviously, for slightly older tracks that are more traditional, we're still seeing changes being made. Spa's a perfect example, although that's not necessarily been done for the benefit of Formula One. They've done it so they can host motorcycle racing there again. But, you know, they've gone through changes to increase safety and things like that. But for this has been more of a case of get rid of this corner and add this in and do that. So I think it's good for certain tracks, but for example, Imola, I know that track is narrow in parts. I know that the cars are probably a bit too big, a bit too boxy for them now, but that's one of the reasons why I love it, because it's just so, it punishes mistakes. Like last year, I thought was a brilliant race there. One of the most underrated on the 2021 calendar. I feel like we had so many crazy races, it kind of got forgotten about, but that for me was probably in my top 5 races last year. And yeah, if they turned around and suddenly said, we're going to make Imola much wider, I don't know if I'd be too happy about it. So I feel like it's swings and roundabouts. We'll see how it goes. I say all these phrases, by the way, and I never know if they're actually real. I don't think that's a real phrase.
That is a phrase. So don't worry. That is
okay. I'm really panicky now because Tommy listened to one. I did a podcast the other day with Hannah, who's our editorial assistant, and I said a fresh slate instead of a clean start and a fresh slate, and I got it the wrong way around. So it's meant to be a clean slate. Clean slate and a fresh start, but I just get them muddled all the time. And now I'm really paranoid. Every time I have a saying, I'm like, I've got it wrong.
No, swings and roundabouts was correct. So yeah, you're fine there. Don't worry. But yeah, it's interesting you talk about Imola. We have spoken about this a little bit before. I think it was probably around the Imola weekend. But the thing was that track is narrow and you throw a bit of rain in there and all of a sudden it's an incredible race because the faster cars can't necessarily get through on the slower cars because it's really difficult to overtake. But if you have a dry race, everybody's on the grid in their performance order, then you've got, you know, a stinker. So it is kind of throwing in a Bernie Ecclestone sprinkler idea. Yeah. And you're absolutely flying around you know, tracks like Imola. So yeah, it's incredible. And that's the thing, like Imola, you know, again, has a lot of history, a lot of heritage. You don't want to change it too much that you lose that history. And it's not that bad to have a few tracks on the calendar that have narrow characteristics that punish mistakes, as you say. So yeah, I wouldn't be a fan of changing a historical track like Imola. Moving on, I did actually mention about the new surface. So drivers were making a lot of mistakes. We saw Charles Leclerc went off twice into the gravel, and I actually sat there watching, and I was like, "Oh come on, Charles, stop doing
this.
Put
it together."
Because I could just see that like there's going to be one too many, and then all of a sudden he's in the wall. Yeah, but it does seem to be Charles Leclerc's style in a lot of ways. It's not as bad.
Well, just
as,
to go off the track.
Well, no, but the thing, like, you know, Bahrain, for example, he was pushing blooming hard round there in practice and spun off at in the last sector, that left hander after the short straight. But it does seem as though Charles Leclerc's style is to push just a little bit over the limit, make a mistake, and then realize, okay, fine. That's the limit.
I learned my
now.
Lesson.
But yeah, he does seem to make mistakes, but as long as he doesn't make them in the sessions that properly count, then I have no problem with it.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize that physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding, and even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling, sleeping too little, sleeping too much, undereating, and overeating. Stress shows up in all kinds of ways, and in a world that's telling you to do more, sleep less, and grind all the time, here's your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. Give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. WTF1 listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/WTF1. That's BETTERHELP.com/WTF1. As a small business owner, you are juggling 100 balls in the air and don't have time to interview candidates who just aren't qualified for your role. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier for you to find the people you want to interview faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to tap into the world's largest professional network with over 30 million people in the UK. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster, and you can post a job for free. Just visit linkedin.com/WTF1. Again, that's linkedin.com/WTF1 to post a job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hamilton went off into the gravel as well, which is pretty unheard of. You don't usually see Lewis going off and making these kind of mistakes all too often. Russell went off, Alonso spun, but then very shortly after went fastest at one point. So the Alpine looked pretty good, to be fair. But yeah, not only is there new surface, but there's also, they've changed the camber of the corners too, which is supposed to be positive camber, as they call it. So it's supposed to aid the drivers around the corners, but it is still a little bit of a difference compared to what we've seen in previous years around here. So it is cool that we've got, because obviously new surface, if you look at it from a generic Formula One fan, and me included probably a few years ago, you think new surface, that's going to be grippy as hell. You know, that's new set. But we've seen Turkey, for example, that new surface did not work at all. And it takes time for the oils to bed in and all this scientific stuff that it's not actually grippier than the old surface that would have looked a little bit dusty and rubbish, but they get up to speed a lot quicker.
It's very true. Like you say, lots of mistakes being made, especially, but Leclerc, like you say, did make mistakes.
Calm it down. Why do I just say especially Leclerc? There was loads of mistakes out there, lots of lockouts.
Because we were talking about it. Could see the
Magnussen
panic in your eyes.
Magnussen went off into the gravel as well, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. Poor Magnussen. He has had not a great day. Apparently he woke up not feeling very well. He skipped the press conference, but he was in the car, still not feeling great though at the end of the day. But something that I thought of or was mentioned is that if Magnussen couldn't race, they haven't got their reserves there because Giovinazzi is doing Formula E in Rome and Fittipaldi isn't there. So I don't know what happens if Magnussen wakes up tomorrow.
I'm going to get a call, aren't I?
Yeah, it's happening, guys. It's exciting.
Gunther definitely does not have my number, but I can make that happen.
No, you make it happen.
Unfortunately,
yeah, do it. But so that's one to see how that goes. Obviously, I think I'm hoping Magnussen is fine and all good. His neck is also still really giving him aggro. Apparently, I don't know which driver it was, but one of the drivers went up to him and like poked him in the back of the neck, to which he was like, ah, that really hurts. So I guess his neck is still really sensitive because he had all these issues.
Why does a driver go up to poke them in the neck of all places? Just
because I think they knew he had, because last time in Saudi, he had all this tape around his neck. So maybe he was saying like, oh, my neck's really bad still. And they were like, you know, if you have a friend who's, I don't know, just had a jab or something like that and you punch them in the arm.
Who was it? Do we know?
I don't, but I might be able to find out. But
I just think Hulkenberg just came into Australia and
just smack him in the back of the neck. I want to drive. Poor Magnussen is going through the wars a bit. But the track surface doesn't seem to be particularly slippy, although we've seen a few people going off. Generally, it's okay. And something that we will talk about a little bit later, which might add in a little bit of excitement, is Pirelli have gone for some rather unusual tire allocation this weekend.
Let's talk about it now. Let's do it. Let's talk about it. You know, let's be fluid. Let's be versatile.
Wow. Do it.
So yeah, to the tires, and I don't remember the last time it was this where they've taken a step between, but it's the C2, the C3, and the C5. So the C2 is the hard tire, the C3 is the medium, and then the C5 is the soft. So there's an extra step between the medium and the soft, which I suppose will make for interesting qualifying. I know there was talk about a little bit about in practice how, you know, some of the cars maybe were struggling in the last sector because of pushing the softs too hard, with them being the softest compound. That's what it is. So it goes between C1 and C5, and C5 is the softest tire available to the Formula One drivers. So it means high speed, a lot of stickiness at the beginning of their lap, but can also mean it goes away towards the end. So that for me doesn't probably change a lot apart from qualifying, because if we have that basically confirms to me that we're not going to see anybody start on the soft tire, because there's going to be no point, because it's going to go three laps and then be, you know, completely out the window. So I don't know. I feel like that might actually create less strategy options, because there's not that durability with the soft tire that maybe you'd stick on with 20 laps to go at the end. But with it being the C5, is there any point? That's my feeling.
It's a valid point. It'll be the debut for the C5 compound with these new Pirelli tyres as well. So hopefully that means that there will be some sort of unknowns around it. Obviously, some of the cars have done testing with the tyres last year. But we haven't seen them really do a proper race with these C5 tyres.
They did some running, didn't they, in Spain?
Running in Spain, testing, but not like a proper race setting.
Because
we didn't get them in Bahrain.
Some mileage on it at least.
Yeah, but like having to battle and see how long they can last in a fight or something like that. But yeah, we had C2, C3 and C4 compounds in 2019, and that's what was selected for the 2020 race that obviously never happened. I'm interested to see how it all plays out. I hope that it's not just a case of them going, okay, we're going to give you the softest compound available and then just don't get used in the race, and they're we're going to avoid that.
I don't personally see it unless it's literally like a safety
car.
Pop
Alonso on them in the start.
Yeah, Alonso,
get him. Yeah,
maybe if they were sprint qualifying, maybe we'd see that. It just doesn't. Especially with now not having the Q2 tire rule as well, they're not even going to be forced to. The top 10 aren't even going to be forced to use the soft tires. So, I reckon it'll be a load of softs in qualifying, and then we don't see them in the race. That's my prediction. Moving swiftly on to our next topic, which is about impeding. So, of course, with the track changes, the circuit has become quicker. I think we saw a 20.4 was pole in 2019 from Hamilton. And we've gone into the 18s so far in practice, and should get quicker, I'd imagine, when we get to qualifying, probably 17s, maybe 16s even. But the big thing was there was a lot of blocking out there. And of course, with the new rules this year, they give out reprimands a lot quicker, don't they? But you're allowed a lot more reprimands before you actually get some sort of penalty. I'm sure you with the rule book, Katie, can give us all the clarification that you need. But just to speak about some of the blocking that went on. So there was a reprimand for Sainz for blocking Zhou. Sainz got blocked by Stroll. Stroll blocked signs, apparently, and Hamilton. Hamilton and Stroll then impeded each other, which that
at the same corner at the same time.
Yeah, so the documentation may be a little bit confusing there, and I'm not sure how they can both block each other unless they're side by side through it exactly. Tsunoda blocked signs. So what I've seen here is that signs was involved in a lot, and so was Stroll, and that kind of links back to Tommy's point. From Saudi Arabia about Stroll not having any awareness at all, because of course he
doesn't have mirrors.
Tommy was arguing, and I think we both agreed that Stroll did turn in on Albon as much as Albon did hit him. Stroll was just like, "Nah, fam, I'm gonna just turn in. I've got a ghost car." And then him blocking all these people in Australia would suggest that he just doesn't have that awareness of, and maybe we can't just blame Lance Stroll because we're not there in his ear. Maybe the team aren't communicating with him enough, or communicating him in a concise enough way with this fast racetrack to get out of the way quick enough. But it is interesting that he is a culprit of this only 2 weeks after us talking about him not having any awareness.
Yeah, well, what's crazy is FP2 happened, so 7 a.m. UK time, which was like 4 hours ago, 5 hours ago, and we've been waiting for updates this whole time. And I've been refreshing the decision document page. Nothing's coming up. I've just refreshed it now, and the decisions are coming through. Ooh. So clearly, the FIA is a burning. So we have one. So quickly, before I go through the FP2 decisions, in FP1, the only decisions decided was that there was a reprimand. Can you tell I've been up since three? My brain is like, not today, babe. So Sainz was given a reprimand for impeding Zhou, which he said was partly due to the fact that his radio volume wasn't working and he didn't hear his team say, you know, Zhou's on a fast lap behind you, but he still got a reprimand. And to go into the point of reprimands, so yeah, you're allowed 5 in a season. And then if you get to 5 reprimands in the year, then you get a 10 place grid drop at the next event. And 4 of those have to be for driving related offenses. So this would be impeding, it could be a pit lane offense, anything like that. Science has 2 now out from the year, but the first one that he got was for an unsafe release with Alonso. And that was counted as a non-driving reprimand. So just to give you a little bit of context.
Science was not driving at the time, officer. It was
someone else. Yeah. So Carlos Sainz, yeah, got his this reprimand this morning, and Stroll was given no further action. And now for the next set of things, Stroll's also been found of no further action of impeding Carlos Sainz at turn 13. And it says, due to the presence of multiple cars converging on the final corners, all of which impacted the situations, the stewards considered that car 18, so Stroll, did not unnecessarily impede car 55 and take no further action. So if you did watch the coverage, it was quite a close call, to be honest, of Stroll kind of hiding or sitting on the apex and Carlos really having to go around him and almost tagging him. But yeah, the stewards have said no further action to that one. And let me refresh the page. And that's the only one so far. So this could be a breaking news, update
throughout
the rest of the pod.
It's a reprimand podcast. That's what this is now. But yes, of course, when this podcast goes out, it will be a few hours after we've actually recorded it. So there may well be updates.
Check the website, guys. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll sharing all the penalties. No, my WTF1 website. Don't send them to the FIA website.
Yeah, actually, don't go to the FIA website.
I'll be out of a job, hun.
Yeah, you're going to have your... How many penalty points do the drivers have? And there's going to be how many reprimands do the drivers have as well to release every single race weekend as well. Moving on. Mercedes. They still don't look great, do they? They haven't brought any upgrades, according to what we've heard. So that's quite surprising. I think we all expected some upgrades, and of course they do this show and tell thing these days, don't they? So it is, you know, it's not like they're hiding stuff. They have to actually say what they've brought to each Grand Prix. They don't seem to be porpoising much when I've seen the onboards from pre-practice, but no, the 11th and 13th I think they were in FP2, and you know, I think I actually did. Yeah, no, I said one Merc doesn't make Q3, so I'm looking pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you. So we'll see if that comes true. But yeah, comparing that to Ferrari, who were quickest with Charles Leclerc, just want to mention that, they were bouncing all over the shop. like porpoising McGee down towards turn 9 and 10. And that is a technical term as well, same as chickeny.
Porpoising McGee.
Literally, the replays that we saw of like Charles Leclerc, well, both of them bounce it like properly. That is going to be so uncomfortable over the course of a 58 lap race or whatever it is. But clearly Ferrari are like, well, you know, we're going to bounce around a bit, but we're not going to lose the performance there. So for me, it then kind of makes me think, does the porpoising affect different teams' cars differently in a way? Like Mercedes clearly want to fix this bouncing issue because the porpoising doesn't work for them. But Ferrari, like, yeah, man, I'm on a bouncy castle and it's still quick. So it's an interesting point to look at.
You're going to be miffed if you're at Mercedes and you look at Ferrari and they're bouncing around in their cars like little bobbleheads, and yet they're still so fast. You must be like, for God's sake. But not if you're Valtteri Bottas, you're probably thinking, ha, ha, ha. But yeah, Hamilton, you know, I'm not saying this is a bad thing. Everyone's allowed to be a bit down in the dumps if your car's not very good, especially if he's come off the back of having such, you know, a reliable and successful car. But he said, you know, you get into the car very optimistic and then you make changes and it doesn't be seeming to want to improve. And yeah, just everything that you change in the car, nothing you change in the car is making a difference at the moment. So he's not feeling too probably positive about it all, but it's early days. It really is. Like, this Mercedes could suddenly have a light bulb moment, and after, I don't know, Miami or something like that, they could be the ones to beat again. So it's probably why Ferrari are like, okay, we've got to pick up every single point we can now at the start of the season, because yeah, like we've said, you know, Mercedes are such a successful team, you know, in this modern era of Formula One, that seeing them struggle like this is so uncharacteristic, and which is why everybody's kind of thinking, well, it won't be long before they do find a cure to whatever this issue is and they're back at the front again. So yeah, at the moment I think they're just trying to lay low, let the others take the limelight, and they'll just settle in the back for a bit. But
Toto's like, guys, it's okay.
You know, guys,
we'll just chill for a little while, see if we fix something.
Keep our heads down.
Yeah. It is just George Russell luck, isn't it, really, to move from Williams to Mercedes, and Mercedes are no longer dominant. You know, that is unfortunate for George, but he's still got...
It's a Valtteri Bottas master plan.
It literally is. Bottas took all of the blueprints to Alfa Romeo. But yeah, it is going to be interesting. The feeling is, as soon as Mercedes fix their problems, whenever that will be, they will be at towards the front. You know, I tweeted the other day that I still firmly believe that Mercedes will be the fastest team at some point this year. I think you're a fool to write them off. You know, there was people writing Mercedes off into Silverstone, I think it was last year. Of course, I know there was an incident that went on there, which had a big point swing, but there were lots of writing off of Red Bull, and then there was writing off Mercedes. And you can't write off such a big operation as Mercedes, who have won the last 8 constructors' titles and were only in round 3 of 23. There is a lot of points still up for grabs. So yeah, just hold fire on writing them off just yet. Next up, Alonso, who I did mention was fastest at one point, and Tsunoda. He was what?
I was going to say he was spinning around at one point.
He was spinning around and then set the fastest time. Yeah. And Tsunoda. So Alonso and Tsunoda are on their final internal combustion engine and round 3 of 3. So they have 3.
It's not great.
And they are using their third ones. It not necessarily means that the other two are in the bin, but it's concerning that they're already using the third fresh one in the third round. That's not probably what the teams were hoping to do. So clearly there are some problems. You know, we saw Tsunoda last time out stop on the way to the grid, didn't he? So there's lots of problems for both of those drivers, which could mean a lot of penalties over the next 20 races after Australia.
Oh, gosh, it's just Fernando's luck and Yuki's luck, isn't it? But yeah, it is a little bit of a red flag to have the already on their final fresh PU, and we're in the third, like just about to start the third race of the season. So I know last year there were certainly conversations towards the end of the season whether the cap should be lifted. Obviously, if you do go over your three of your ice or whatever it might be, you can take more. You just get penalised for it as it goes on. But yeah, quite concerning, I'd say. And even Lando, it's not quite as bad as Alonso and Yuki, but he's on his second PU. So it's, I suppose, interesting if you look at it in the way that Renault or Alpine, if you want to refer to them as whichever way, they have had an issue. Yuki obviously has a Red Bull powertrains, brackets Honda, power unit, and he's having issues. And then Lando's got the Mercedes in the back. So it's not just like one power unit supplier that's really having an issue. It seems to be fairly evenly spread up and down the grid. But yeah, it's not great, I'll be honest.
No, it's not great.
So we'll see what happens.
Not great at all.
My L-Plan tattoo, I'm hoping, is safe for now.
Yeah, I think you're okay with Fernando. Fernando doesn't look like he's going to win the championship this year, Katie, so you don't have to get a tattoo.
We've said it's only race three, though.
True, anything can happen.
L-Plan.
Yeah, L-Plan indeed. The L-Plan is also not working for Sebastian Vettel, who has returned. No. Lovely to see him back. But he was under investigation. I'm assuming he's still under investigation for taking a scooter on track right after the session finished in FP1. So his car broke about 10 minutes before the end of the session. And next thing you know, end of session hits. Sebastian Vettel's out there with his helmet perched on top of his head, doing laps of the Melbourne track. Now, I don't know how to feel about
this. Entertainment all day. That's what I pay my ticket money for.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of thing. You know, he's waving to the crowd. He's being a great sport. I can understand where the stewards are, where they have a rule book, and Seb has clearly broken it, because isn't there like a 5-minute window between the session ending and the actual track being able to be, you know, I guess, accessed by anybody? He's allowed to go on it if there's a prior approval as well from like a marshal or whatever, but he didn't get that. He just got on a scooter. And
did he not? Do you think he'd speak to a marshal? Because he kind of just found a bike.
That was just joyride. He's just.
You think?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I was going to say, it'd be quite funny, like some guys, like, I'm sure I parked it round here. Going into the distance over to the crowd. But yeah, it's as fun as it was to see. And it was quite amusing. I was covering the session, and Tommy, who he was sort of around for the session as well. And I messaged him afterwards and I was like, that's weird. The FIA system is saying there's a double wave yellows being waved. I was like, but the session's ended 5 minutes ago. Like, what's going on? And then he was like, yeah, that doesn't sound right. I think it's like a mistake or something. And then sure enough, like our TV cuts to Seb on his little moped. And we both put in the chat like, Seb? Oh my God, what the hell? But yeah, there's no update on that. But I just love the fact that within the summons document, you've got, you know, the impeding, all this kind of stuff. And then summons, car 5, unauthorized use of a scooter on the track. It's just like,
I love how he's car 5 as well. Out of didn't context. Have his car either. That's
yeah,
amazing.
I know. It's just so daft. So who knows what that will be, whether it will be another reprimand or whether the FIA will want to make an example of it. I mean, I don't know, but at least the fans enjoyed it and he got back safely, which is the most important thing. Like, at least wasn't trying to do any kind of like popping a wheelie or,
yeah,
you know, like the people, the Red Bull people that can like stand on the back of their bike and do like an aerobatic show or something. At least he was just tootling around.
And I guess the problem as well, from a safety perspective, is that he wasn't even wearing his helmet properly. So like, he had his helmet just perched on top of his head. If he was wearing his helmet, maybe there'd be a little bit more lenience, but it's just
so dumb.
I mean, I loved seeing it. It was brilliant. It was just different, but I can also understand from a safety perspective where the FIA have to step in. Otherwise, you know, we'll see all kinds of silly things, but yeah, I'm sure he did get a permission from the marshal, like, all right, mate, can I, I don't know why Seb speaks like that, but all right, mate, you got that scooter? Yeah, no worries. And then he just gets on. But I guess the approval has to come from race control, and then he can enter the track.
Yeah, you can have a vehicle on the track.
And that clearly was not allowed. Anyway, Kit Gidspers, sorry if I just butchered that.
Okay?
Is Seb better off doing qualifying on the scooter or the AMR 22? I would say the scooter, more reliability at least, because Aston Martin did not finish that practice session. And then Seb, of course, didn't even get any running in FP2. Right, I'm going to say it right now. If Seb out-qualifies Lance Stroll after Lance Stroll getting out-qualified last time out by Nico Hülkenberg in Saudi Arabia, that is correct, right? That is what happened.
I think Lance beat him in Saudi, but Hülkenberg beat him in Bahrain.
Okay, maybe it was Bahrain.
I think. It's a lot of numbers to memorise. A
lot of things. But if Seb out-qualifies Lance, it's big trouble. That's probably that would be the worst thing for Lance if he gets out-qualified by Seb, because Seb has just come back to the sport. He hasn't done any races. He said he felt like he was late to school, didn't he, coming back?
Yeah, like
the
new kid at school.
Lance has to out-qualify Seb. So I'm glad my prediction isn't... actually, no, I'm not glad, because it should be, because usually I'm like, oh, Stroll will out-qualify Vel. That's usually, that was the running meme from was it last season or the season before? But
Last season.
So it has to come true for Lance's sake. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, being serious, obviously the car would be quicker, but
Well, technically not. It broke down. So
could put like
what's faster than 0 miles an hour?
Boost on the back of the bike. Savage. But yeah, Stroll's really got to perform this weekend. Stop getting himself in the steward's office and instead get himself in the briefing rooms, making sure. Yeah, that's like being on a driving test.
Being sassy.
No, it's fine. You're allowed. And yeah, I'm happy to see Seb back, as I think everyone else is.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not been playing by the rules by getting on this moped.
I think as well, I'm sure Seb got on that scooter, went onto the track. Like, he is a four-time world champion. He's been here for many years. He knew that probably was a little bit naughty. There's no way.
Oh, for sure. He's the GPDA director. he must think, at least put your helmet on properly.
Yeah.
And then you could just say, oh, it wasn't me. It was someone else. But
there you go, an imposter.
There you go. You can tell I was a troublemaker at school and I used to get out of things quite easily.
Oh, wasn't me. Love it. Love Seb. Right. We're going to remind you now of our Australian Grand Prix predictions. So I mentioned the other one. I mentioned the first one a little bit earlier. So I've said
the offence for Seb's come through.
Oh, what is it?
Oh, breaking news.
Breaking news.
He has been given a fine of 5,000 euros.
Oh, so Seb will check his bank account and be like, have you taken it yet or not?
Literally.
Is that it? That is probably the most expensive Uber he'll ever take, but that is...
Yeah.
He'll probably think it's worth it, to be fair, just having not to
walk
back.
Yeah, just do a little parade.
Okay,
literally, so Seb, I'm that lazy that I would take a £5,000 fine.
Yeah, 5,000... was it euros? 5,000 euros fine, I assume. Yeah, so, okay, cool. So that's... I wonder how far he actually travelled, and then we could work it out per metre how much he spent.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so our reminder of our Australian Grand Prix predictions. I went for one Merck doesn't make Q3 and Haas no points. I think I could be in for a double here. I reckon, and by the way, it was at least one Merck. If both Mercks don't make Q3, that still is a point. Don't try and weasel me out.
No.
Yeah. Come on.
You could say at least one.
I'm pretty sure I said at least one in the actual prediction. I just wrote it down like that. So if you want to go back to the audio,
I will.
Yeah. Anyway, Katie, yours.
I went for Ferrari pole.
Oh. That second one doesn't
crazy
good,
prediction.
Does
and Magnussen top five in quali. So we won't talk about that one. Thank you.
Hopefully.
And then Tommy's not here
quality.
To read his.
No, Tommy isn't. So he's gone for at least his. Four DNFs. And Russell makes it 2-1 in quali. That could both be very
that
true
could
as well.
Be, yeah.
Shady underscore Man United. Sainz getting his first win. Sainz does look pretty good, not going to lie. Not far off Charles Leclerc. He was fastest in FP1 as well, wasn't Carlos? But that was after Leclerc went off into the gravel and didn't really get a representative lap time. But Sainz looking good, definitely. AF 1555, new team on the podium for 2022. Maybe Alpine, who knows? And Roberts underscore Epners. Both McLarens out of the points. I think McLaren are looking a little bit better this weekend. They do look a little bit more competitive. That they could, I think they'll score points. I think the McLaren.
You jinx that now.
I hand out jinxes just left, right, and center. So, but they do look better. They don't look like the team from Bahrain that were absolutely horrendous. We'll see. But on the outer skirts of the points, maybe, do you reckon? You're wearing a Ricciardo.
I know, yeah. If they don't, then I can have to burn this.
Okay, Fair. All right. What
it was expensive. I'm not doing that.
You said it, not me. So no. Katie will be burning her shirt.
No, I won't.
If they don't make the points. Right. There you go. Katie, final thoughts.
I actually have one. I have one. I've been waiting for that. So my final thoughts are with the marshal that fell over an FP2 in front of the whole world stage, because I can't stop thinking about it. And it's so funny. Oh, my goodness.
When
so
was this?
There was a I'm going to giggle thinking about it.
I think I fast-forwarded through the red flag.
There was a red flag for, I think it's a piece of Stroll's car. And they sent a marshal out and he's out there running and the cameras are all on him. And I don't know what it was, whether he slipped on the grass. Maybe it was a bit dewy or something happened. Maybe he saw himself on TV. But anyway, he was running and he was running at such an angle that his legs just buckled underneath him and he like stacked it on the grass and all of the Aussie crowd went, way!
I need to find this clip. There must be a clip of it.
I know Sky Sports tweeted it earlier.
Oh, here we go. But like, I'm about to see it.
I felt so bad for the poor guy because I would 100% have done the same thing.
He's got the helicopter cam as well.
And all of the cameras.
Properly watching him. He's thinking, this is my moment. I am.
This is my big moment, yeah.
I am an Olympic.
Oh,
it's an incredible, like the angle as well. You just see this
I really hope F1 find him and like give him a paddock pass or something. Because that guy, he needs to be bought a beer and he needs to be given a hug because he's going to be thinking about that for his whole entire life.
And the commentator said don't fall as well.
Oh no, it was commentator's curse. So yeah, that's my final thought, is thoughts and prayers with the marshal that fell over. You're amazing. We love you.
Oh, I just watched it again. That's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Oh,
I've been giggling about that since
I saw
it this morning.
If you haven't seen that, go and watch it. It's on Twitter, just type an F1 marshal. Brilliant stuff. Shout out to the marshal. My final thoughts are looking forward to talking about the Charles Leclerc victory on Monday on the podcast. Live for Team WTF1 members. So join Team WTF1 if you want to watch us live on Monday, record the podcast. If not, we will release it on the Tuesday as always. Of course, Internet Special Reactions returns on Sunday. The qualifying watch along, myself and Katie will be here live at 6
right
a.m.
early.
6 a.m. Seven. UK time. 7. Sorry, 6 a.m. is the race. Seven. No, we're doing hour pre-show. Sorry,
no.
7 a.m. 7 a.m. UK time, or just before. So please come and join us. Get your coffees, get your breakfasts, and whatever else you need to do, and join us for that. We will be setting that live or scheduling it, so you'll be able to see it a little bit earlier than that. But yeah, so come and join us then. Looking forward to it. Should be an interesting qualifying. Ferrari look quick. Red Bull a little bit struggling. Verstappen complaining about a few things. We'll see. It's going to be a very interesting one, isn't it?
It is. And thank you again for the podcast award, because that is just mega. And I can't believe that we actually won it.
Yeah,
we're an award-winning podcast, and I just literally blagged my way through this whole thing because I'm so tired.
I've been blagging for 5 years, so don't worry about it.
Nice. So, we can say that now we've got the award.
Yeah, thank you for the award. Okay, cool. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Hashtag WTF1 podcast if you want to get involved in the discussion next time. We'll, of course, put stuff on social media as well if you want to ask questions for the next podcast that we do. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. 5 stars, thumbs up, subscribe if you're new, all that good stuff. And we'll see you on Tuesday, if not. If you're not a Team WTF4 member, it'll be Tuesday. But if you are a Team WTF4 member, see you live on Monday. What an outro. Katie's doing some waves. Goodbye!
I'm doing some sort of dance.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.